Holly Bennett is from Tarawa, Ngāti Whakau, Ngāti Pikiao, and is the founder and Kai Tūhono Ariki, the principal consultant of Kaupapa Māori lobbying firm Afi, which is based in Tamaki Makaurau, and the founder of government relations training organisation Engage. Holly, thanks so much for joining us on the program today. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, morena.
Morena, it's good to talk with you. So it's a lobbying firm, and we don't have too many Māori here. You spent quite a lot of time down in the Parliamentary Press Gallery, and then 6 years ago decided to set up the Kaupapa. Just give us an elevator pitch of what you guys do.
So essentially, what we do at Afi is we teach people how to understand how to navigate the bureaucracy, because the Crown is a pretty unwieldy beast, we all know that, and it has the ability to do a lot of things to us, and sometimes it's not done with us. So I decided that one of my things was, after I came out of working within the Beehive, was to set up my own firm to ensure that all sorts of voices are heard, not just your traditional ones.
Tēnā koe. Oh, I hope it's going well for you too, Holly. It's a bold move to set up a company of that type. Obviously, there's a lot of nervousness for our people about the way that this coalition government is treating Māori issues, and the treaty coming into play with Seymour's principles push to redefine them. From your perspective, Holly, what do you see as the role of government in regard to the Treaty of Waitangi? What perspectives would you like to share with us?
So I think that I think everyone rightfully is allowed to be nervous. For myself personally, I'm not too nervous, and I'll explain why. When we look at the genesis of this bill, the Treaty Principles Bill, it has actually come from a place of flawed interpretation, and I will talk about that more. But the reason why it's important to understand that is when you have law being made from an inherently flawed place, it's a law that therefore needs to be thought of very carefully at Select Committee, and that means that we as Māori need to participate in our democracy, and we need to be involved and explain why it's flawed. And the principle that I look at is from where this bill has come from, and it's actually found in the Axe Party Constitution, and the Axe Party Constitution describes the treaty as an agreement which should be viewed as intended to set an honourable course for the future interaction of individual Māori with individual non-Māori. Now, you can't tell me that that is the true meaning of te tiriti.
Well, everyone's throwing their hat in the ring here with their own interpretations. It was a bottom line for ACT, and so their coalition partner, mainly National, have said, OK, well, we'll agree to it through to Select Committee stage. Is there danger in this?
I mean, I think it's a great opportunity for us to really get involved in the democratic process to be submitting. Is there danger? There's inherent danger everywhere, especially when we see the Crown trying to usurp tikanga Māori and take it and claim it as their own, because it's not. It is of every iwi and hapu to have their own mana motuhaki over the things that they value. So one of the things for me that I look at with this process is actually understanding why it is so egregious, and to call the treaty something that should be seen as between individual Māori and individual non-Māori completely absolves the Crown of its duty to uphold the agreement, because the treaty is between iwi Māori, hapu Māori, and the Crown. That is where the partnership lies.
We've seen the elimination of general references to the treaty in future legislation be part of the government's first 100 days. And what did you think of that? I did read a piece from Audrey Young, who suggested that in current legislation there are 13 different references worded differently too. To the treaty, all seemingly aiming in the same direction, but with different kupu, which I guess can be confusing to some. What did you make of the government's move to eliminate future references to the treaty within forthcoming legislation?
Well, I mean, that is something that's interesting because until I actually see a piece of proposed legislation, it's really hard to comment on it. They might say that they're going to do something, but whether or not they actually do it is another thing. My point is that just because the Crown writes something in a piece of legislation, which then becomes law, doesn't necessarily absolve them, or if they don't write it, doesn't absolve them of the duty that they have. Because we all know that the treaty is the founding document of our modern nation, and therefore they have an obligation. And this is why we have to be very particular about the words that we use and how we talk about it, because they can't just like sign away their role to be able to their role of upholding the treaty.
Holly, you've been around the political scene for some time and as a proud Wahine Māori, how are you feeling that so many references are made regarding Māori? It's as if our issues are front and centre, the most important this country is facing. We're coming off the back of a pandemic. We've got high interest rates. We've got low Māori housing, education, health stats are poor for our people, but yet it seems that we are a convenient focus for a government who wants to placate, I guess, or get the support of middle New Zealand. Sadly, we still seem to be being used politically as a football.
I think that that's probably a fair assessment, and I would say it is very sad. The other thing is that then we need to be able to articulate ourselves as to why these things are unpalatable. So understanding where this disdain comes from and the reason why it is incongruent in modern day is really, really important, which is why for this bill it was important for me to be able to understand and therefore write about its genesis within the ACT Party constitution. Then I contrast that with the National Party constitution, which has the treaty in it. So I'm very interested to watch this from a political lens because New Zealand First does not have any reference to the treaty and its political party constitution. So you're really seeing these three coalition parties try to hash out their political ideals over something which the majority, I would say, of Aotearoa had decided we'd all moved on, that we didn't need to rehash this. And the bigger party of the three has it in their constitution. So therefore, are they going to let these two smaller parties rewrite their constitution? I would say no. So for me, what we have to do as Māori is understand that we actually have an engagement point of right, not of privilege, but of right under our iwi and hapū, and then therefore we need to go use it. And as a lobbyist, my job is to help Māori do that. I help a lot of post-settlement governance entities assist in doing that engagement in a way that understands that they have that right to the engagement. It's not a privilege, it's a right.
Do you think some parties can be dismissive? We say, hey, listen, this one in your constitution. They say, oh, sorry, we changed our mind. Just as they said, oh, well, we didn't campaign on this, but we're going down that track and we've got the right to. The constitution's not legally binding, is what I'm getting at there. But disregarding 50 years of interpretation and usage by politicians and the legal system, it does compromise the mana of the treaty. Where to now for the Treaty of Waitangi? What would you suggest is the best way forward for Māori, for us to put pressure on the government to adhere to our expectations treaty-wise?
I would say that every hapū and iwi understands first that they are entitled to their own unique and enduring relationship with the Crown. And so no one, no matter whether that politician is in the government or not, can take that away from them. And so then when you first understand that you have that engagement as a right, not a privilege, it becomes very easy to then go, what are the things that we want to engage on that are important to our people? Because the things that are important to, my people, of Aotearoa, will be different to Ngāpuhi, will be different to Ngāi Tahu, and so on, and so on, and so on. And so the point is that when you understand first what your priorities are, you get a very clear line of sight as to who you want to engage with, and that's what I mean, lobbying. It's a very underutilized tool in our kazoo that we don't use often, but I think that that's probably to our own detriment. And then with the principles bill, wait till it is introduced into Parliament. See what the conversation is on the floor. There's going to be 12 first reading speeches, and then we all need to do our bit and submit. So I will be submitting from my business, and then obviously I hope that every hapu and iwi will submit from their own position of as a right. They are allowed to say something, and they should be saying something. And then everyone else can do their bit by getting involved in the democracy and saying why this is not good enough.